It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks! Vic takes the snap again. Pumps. He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line. Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in for 4 yards out. Manning will throw on first and 10. Heaves one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch. Gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow, and you, the day after the Giants' victory over the Carolina Panthers, 36-7. Who knew? Who knew that this type of beatdown was going to take place on Thursday Night Football? Not I. Not I. Maybe you. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. You can find us on Twitter at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. Myself and Lance, we're monitoring Twitter throughout the show. We'll have questions, comments for you. And also just want to remind you, make sure you download that Giants mobile app on your cell phone. You can take us anywhere and everywhere you go. Again, a fantastic victory last night. The Giants 36, the Panthers 7, the Giants now 2-1. They're back at the facility today, so we'll be talking to players. We'll have those interviews for you a little bit later on up on Giants.com. As this team is going to enjoy, I think, a nice weekend. I believe that they're going to have Sunday off, be able to watch a little football. I'm actually excited about that. I'm heading down to Baltimore for the Patriots-Ravens game myself. And then back to work next week to get ready for another night game. Hey now, primetime. Against the Philadelphia Eagles at Philadelphia. But Lance, let's look back before we look forward. Your thoughts on the game last night?
Well, I thought they got a balanced effort on offense, and that was key. They really got that running game going, and it was impressive to see the fact that they put together a solid drive right from the start. That had been an issue against the Cowboys and against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went 8 plays, 80 yards in 3 minutes, 22 seconds. They capped that off with a Martellus Bennett 14-yard touchdown. It was highlighted by big runs by Andre Brown, and then he continued to do that on the second drive, on the third drive, and on the fourth drive. The first four possessions, the Giants scored. They put together that big lead. It gave the defense a cushion. It gave the defense some confidence, and the defense seemed to feed off of it, because to limit Cam Newton to 6 yards on 6 carries after he had 71 yards, which was a career high the day before against the Saints, that's quite a defensive performance for the Giants all around. The linebackers, I thought, really stepped up. And given that there's now more injuries that the secondary has to deal with, they held their own. They limited, for the most part, the big plays. Greg Olsen and Steve Smith had some catches at times, but it was very scattered. Nothing was consistent on offense for Carolina last night.
A few things we talked about in our pregame show, and I'm sure you felt the same, and that is no Hakeem Nicks, which, by the way, I actually got the story today in regard to how the decision was made that Hakeem Nicks did not make the trip and did not play. Now, just mind you, Hakeem Nicks is from the North Carolina area. He had over 24 tickets set aside for his family. This was a huge, huge game for him. Wednesday, when the players came to the facility before they were able to fly out, the coaching staff told Hakeem Nicks, hey, go into the Timex Performance Center, the indoor field, and jog, run a little bit, see how your foot feels. So he did that, and on Hakeem's own accord, came back and told the coaches, I'm not well, this isn't right, this doesn't feel... So talk about the difficulty and going and telling your coaches that you're not going to be right, that you're not going to be ready, that you're not healthy enough to suit up and play in a game that you've probably penned in, not only penciled in, Lance, but penned in on your calendar, because it means a lot to a lot of these guys to go back and play a national football game at home. So my heart goes out to Hakeem Nicks. But again, talking about the pregame show, the importance of Ramses Barden stepping up with the loss of not only Hakeem Nicks, we're really not even talking about the loss of Dominic Hickson. Keep in mind, Dominic Hickson is the number three on this wide receiving core. And then you go one step further, no Ahmad Bradshaw and Andre Brown. So two young, talented football players who have not been given an opportunity up until this point, stepping up on a grand stage. This isn't a Sunday 1 o'clock game. This is a Thursday night NFL Network primetime football game. And to have the performance that they did, Lance, amazing.
You know, Barnen took advantage of what the defense gave him. What the Panthers did was they put their two safeties really far back, so the middle of the field was open season for the Giants, and Manning really chose his passes carefully. Barnen made plays. There were no mental lapses, so that's why he was able to get big chunks of yardage catch after catch. I thought Martellus Bennett provided another big lift. Three straight games, three touchdowns. He has proven to be a huge security blanket for Eli Manning. He's a nightmare matchup, and he knows how to haul in those passes when it really counts. The fact that he got that early score, that gave the offense a big early lift. And you mentioned all of the injuries. I think it says a lot about Akeem Nicks that he knew he wasn't 100%. What you find in the NFL often is players are so hungry to get out on the field that they're willing to play through the injuries. And sometimes that's not the ideal situation or the decision to make because you can aggravate it and then you cost yourself future weeks. So the fact that he knew off the short turnaround, I'm not 100%. It's probably wise. Let me rest for what really is going to be 2 weeks before they play the Eagles, and then I'll be back or at least near back to full force. It says a lot about Akeem Nicks as a player. So that was the wise decision. And you know what? 2020's hindsight, based on what Ramsey's Barden did, it was not a bad decision at all because all of the backups performed. And it even goes beyond the wide receiver core. Stevie Brown comes in after Antrell Roll gets hurt. He gets an interception. The list goes on and on. When any moment happened in this game that a player got hurt, the depth chart really showed its true colors. And that's a big lift for the Giants because they've been plagued by injuries in seasons prior. And usually they have not had the depth there to turn to. I think tonight that really showed.
Again, 201-939-4513. Lance, calls are coming in. Let's get to them. We go to Sam, calling in from Germany. Sam, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, our first call of the day.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's everything on the other side of the ocean?
Things are doing well. What you got? How was? I'm assuming you got to see the game last night?
Yes, 2 o'clock in the morning over here. And I tell you what, not a lot to complain about. I mean, I don't know where Jerry Reese gets these guys. And not only that, my hats are off to the coaching staff for preparing everybody very short notice. But I tell you what, you know, I guess as a fan, I could only find something to kind of complain about, I guess. But I was thinking about David Wilson. Now that, I mean, Andre Brown seems like he is a really valid contender for the number two running back spot. What type of roles do you guys think that David Wilson could play in the running game or in the offense in general now moving forward?
I think he's going to be a change of pace back at this point. They'll use him probably on passing down some third down situations, and they're going to try to use him to catch the defense off guard. They'll have some packages for him, just like they had for Darrell Scott last season. But at the end of the day, if Andre Brown proved anything last night, it's that he deserves more carries. And when Ahmad Bradshaw is fully healthy, you would assume they're going to look to split and balance out the load. And that pretty much leaves David Wilson as the third target on the depth chart. Does that mean that he's not going to have a role moving forward? No, but to me, Andre Brown has at least taken a step in front of him when it comes to how the depth chart's playing out.
Again, Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, Big Blue Kickoff Live with you till 10:30 this morning, 201-939-4513. Also, really quick, our show question is what players' performance impressed you the most from Thursday night? Which or what? What I put what? It's Twitter.
It which players? That's fine.
I put what, though? It's Twitter, though. You have to limit your characters.
You have to be very crafty in how you fit in a phrase.
And my you is just not Y-O-U, but just you.
It's normal.
You.
That's a part of adjusting to Twitter.
Right? You have to be, so it's, you know, pay no attention to grammatical errors here. That is our Twitter question. It's out there right now. Again, you can call into the show or respond on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. What Giant player impressed you the most from Thursday night? Trust me, there were many. 201-939-4513. Just to comment on David Wilson, to be honest with you, and we talked about it before we started the show, Lance, and that is, you know, the biggest concern for David Wilson is pass protection for the Giants. Helping out, because the offensive line, really, the first two games have been absolutely horrible. So helping Eli Manning stay protected out of this, it's what we like to call mass protect, okay? And he just does not have the ability right now to kind of grasp that, read defenses, know where the blitz is coming from, yada, yada, yada. Now, offensive line did a great job. Eli Manning had all day, yes, last night, just like all the time in the world to sit back and pick that secondary apart. And with that being said, I was expecting a little more dose of David Wilson just to kind of get his feet wet, get him in there. You've established a lead. See what he can do. Work him in. Get some plays. Get the ball in his hands. A little disappointed that I'm disappointed, and this is the first time I'm disappointed in regards to David Wilson because of the way that the game unfolded, because there was a lead, especially in the fourth quarter, because of the lead that was there, because the offensive line was doing a good job, because Eli Manning was not under pressure. Why not get the young guy in? Why not see what he can do? So I just that's the only negative I have. And obviously has nothing to do with game plan or what have you. I guess for my own I want to see David Wilson play. Like, I want to see this explosiveness. I want to see it.
Well, he's a first-round pick, and I think that people in the Giants organization want to see him play too. But remember, Darrell Scott was flashy last season. He had a lot of athleticism. Yes, he wasn't a first-round pick, and he did not see the field much. And it was mainly because of their concern with regard to pass protection. And you have to assume that the coaches are seeing something in practice that is not selling them on putting him out on the field. You have to prove yourself during the week to earn playing time. And it's not just about pass protection. I'll take it a step further. He fumbled in the first game. And yes, he's a rookie. There are going to be the ups and downs. But then he had a drop pass on the very first drive in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game that hurt their drive and ultimately led them to settle for a field goal. So those type of things, that trend can scare off coaches. He still needs to gain back the confidence of the staff at this point, I think, before they're willing to hand over a larger role. And that's why those late carries went to Darrell Scott. If Wilson starts to prove that in practice, starts to make adjustments, and clearly can be reliable in pass protection and as a change of pace running back, you'll start to see more of him moving forward. But to me, his situation has become even more complicated with the emergence of Andre Brown. You're not going to now sacrifice Andre Brown just to give David Wilson X amount of carries. You now want Andre Brown to get about 10 carries a game, because if he can continue this yardage per carry average, that's a huge lift for the Giants running game.
201-939-4513. We go to Ryan in New Jersey, wants to talk about Andre Brown and Ramses Barden. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's a great day in New York, New Jersey area.
Absolutely, Ryan. What you got?
Nothing much, man. I kind of just wanted to, there were so many good things to take from the game last night. I don't even know where to start. I mean, Ramses Barden, Andre Brown. I mean, is it official? Like, is Jerry Reese the best GM in the league, or what?
He's certainly made a case for that. I mean, time and time again, guys that he has taken late picks with have eventually answered the call. And Ramses Barden, you know, time was ticking. They've been waiting for him to perform like this for a really long time. He stepped up in the preseason. He was a big bright spot. And now all of a sudden he's transitioned that to the regular season. So it was a huge lift for the Giants offense to get a guy that made catch after catch and was able to move the chains.
Very, very impressive night for him last night. I think he surprised a lot of people. And I think he surprised a few people in this organization, Lance. 201-939-4513. We go to Miami, my hometown. Cody, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Love the show. Is it too early to order my Andre Brown jersey? Or
wow.
Or we're still backed up on David Wilson jerseys. I mean, you know what? David Wilson, he's a rookie, man. He has some drop passes. You know, you just got to give him time, man. It's only the second game. You know, by the time he gets to the sixth game, we'll see what he's about. You know, can't really put that much on that kid's plate. He's a kid.
I agree, and that's why I think they're going to take a very slow approach in moving him along and working him into the offense.
Wait a minute. Lance. You're David Wilson. You've been drafted by the New York Giants, okay? First round. One guy went one pick in front of you, and that gentleman's name is Doug Martin. He's in Tampa blowing it up right now.
He had one good game.
LeGarrette who? LeGarrette Blount who? What? Huh? You're telling me that David Wilson isn't sitting back and saying, I'm a better running back than him.
Oh, I'm sure every player thinks that way.
I can do this. I have more wiggle. I can do this. I can do that. I don't think for a second David Wilson isn't sitting back and going, you know, damn, like, when am I going to get my shot? When am I going to get my chance? When am I? But again, now, and this is where I think, like, sometimes people, especially at the quarterback position, and tell me if you think I'm wrong here, You know, I think people kind of judge a certain quarterback or a certain player, a certain wide receiver, solely on just who they are and what they're doing, okay? As opposed to looking at what team drafted him or what team that they're in, what scheme they're in, who's their quarterback, who's their offensive coordinator, who's their offensive line. Like, look, for example, look at Alex Smith. Alex Smith was just horrible for so many years. Well, why? He didn't have a coach to come in who believed in him like Harbaugh does, put together an offensive line, arguably one of the best in the NFL, surround him with talent, and then take an offensive game plan and structure around what he brings to the table. Not saying, okay, here's my offense, and this is, and you're going to run it. No. It's all right, these are your strengths, and these are your weaknesses, and now we're going to build an offense around what you can bring to the table. Teams, believe it or not, more teams than not don't do that. So, you know, I think this is a mixture when it comes to David Wilson that look at the team that he was drafted to. The team that he's drafted to requires their backs to pass protect, to max protect, to read defenses, to understand blitzes. And he played at a school that he never had to do that. So, yeah, Doug Martin's blown it up right now in Tampa, but Doug Martin's blown it up because he went to a system and a team that's utilizing him the way that he's been used to being utilized coming out of college. And it's different for David Wilson. So,
The jury's still out on Doug Martin, too.
Not for me.
He had one good game. I mean, we got to relax here.
I mean, he had one good game, but he's a good back.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he is a number one back in the NFL. And I think the season will only get better. This is just my opinion and what I hear from folks in Tampa who cover the team and coaches and whatnot. But my whole point, going back to my point, is David Wilson has to be sitting back and going, you know, damn, like, I'm better than him. I'm not getting my shot. Well, why aren't you getting your shot? Because you're in a different system that you need to really learn and develop and grow in. It's just different.
Well, it's also a different opportunity for David Wilson. Tampa Bay, I mean, had LeGarrette Blount, but was also looking for another running back to really carry the load, given Blount's injury history and the system they were running. With the Giants, yes, they did lose Brandon Jacobs, but coming in, David Wilson wasn't expected to be the starter. You knew Ahmad Bradshaw was going to carry the load, and Wilson was going to be slowly worked into things. They've had other running backs in the past who have made adjustments. Ahmad Bradshaw is a running back who's made adjustments. He had fumble issues, remember, when he first came into the league. Tom Coughlin and company worked with him. He put that under his belt, and he's developed into a reliable running back.
I understand. All right, here, I'm gonna make an analogy, okay? If the Giants would have drafted Doug Martin, let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Tampa Bay Bucks would not have moved up, and let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Saints drafted David Wilson, and I'm foreshadowing there, okay? And Doug Martin ended up here. I guarantee you Doug Martin would have gotten a lot more playing time here. Why? Because he fits this system better. He knows how to pass protect. How he played in college better fits the Giants system. Now, with that being said, if David Wilson went to the Saints, they'd be utilizing him like they used Darren Sproles.
So that's a valid point.
So to me, it's all about the system. And David, and this is a different kind of system that David Wilson is going to have to go to the draw. He's like in kindergarten right now.
But I also think it's a learning curve for rookies, regardless of what system they came from in college. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs because the pass protection schemes are different than in college. You see a lot of different blitzes here in the NFL than you are in college.
Oh, absolutely.
The talent level is a whole different animal. So that also plays a role in how quickly a running back adjusts. And remember, he also had fumble issues in college. That's something now that he's also carried over with him to the NFL that he's going to have to change quickly and get that in containment before they can clearly rely on him for an every down back.
Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, and you, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Again, 201-939-4513. Lance, we go to New Jersey. Sonny wants to talk about the offensive line and what a great performance they had last night. Sonny, welcome.
Hey, guys. Want to touch on three things. First, Prince played well. Second, I think Brown, if he plays like this, he can be actually the number one back, but he has to show consistency. And about the O-line, I think Locklear did a good job on yesterday, and he might be taking Dee's job. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Sonny. A couple of things that he touched on there, and I agree. I think Andre Brown certainly has to show that he can build off of this performance, but the fact that he did it in the second half of the Tampa Bay Bucs game, carried that over for four quarters against the Panthers, that's a sign of consistency already. And if he can continue to show that he can be a contributor in the passing game, last night he had three receptions, helped protect Eli Manning. That is going to be a running back that they are going to look to take some off the plate of Amon Bradshaw, given his injury history. And if you have two different style running backs, Brown's a little bit more patient than Bradshaw. It helps make your offense that much more dangerous moving forward. So that's certainly a big bonus for the Giants that they were able to see out of last night. With respect to the offensive line, I think I point to the Amon Bradshaw situation. I don't think the Giants are going to bench a guy due to injury. When David Deal is healthy, he is going to reclaim his job, and that will allow Locklear to go back to a swing tackle who can play left and right depending on if another injury comes to the forefront. But keep in mind, it's an MCL injury. The Giants haven't released how severe the injury is, but I have a feeling it's going to be a multi-week absence for David Deal, so you're likely going to see more of Locklear moving forward, which is good because part of the Giants' offensive line success is based on that all five guys remain healthy and are able to play from game to game. That was the issue last season. Why did they struggle? 1 week it was one guy at guard, one guy at center. David Bosco's out, Kevin Booth comes in, Petras comes in. There was no continuity for the offensive line. It was a game of musical chairs. If they have that balance moving forward, that will also help the running game continue to flourish from week to week.
Again, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow, and you. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, all things social media, monitoring Twitter as we host the show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. Lance, this is from SRiz87. Our Twitter question today for the show is, which player in last night's game impressed you the most? And SRiz87 says, I'm still very impressed with Hosley. Dude gave up a few catches, but the game does not seem too tough for him, and he is a rookie. We talked about that yesterday as well on our pre- and post-game show. Pretty amazing. This is a rookie. Perry Fuel Trust started him at the cornerback position, starting corner opposite Corey Webster. Started last night as well and came away with an interception. Of course, it was a bad pass by Cam Newton, threw it behind Brandon LaFell, but nonetheless, Hosley has been very, very impressive since the get-go. Was impressive up in Albany, impressive during preseason. Of course, he hurt his toe, but nonetheless, this young man has a bright future, and hopefully right here with the Giants.
And hopefully he doesn't have any lingering issues with the hamstring injury that developed yesterday. He said after the game that he seemed to be okay. Antrell Rolls now dealing with the knee. As we mentioned off the top, there are some other injuries that are playing out with regard to the secondary.
Really quick, I did hear from Antrell Roll, and he said it's just a laceration. There's no structural. Of course, I'm sure they're going to give him an MRI and more tests today. But Roll just said it's he's fine.
Well, he also has a bone bruise too. But you know, you hope that it's nothing serious, as you just touched on, and he'll be able to recover in the next week.
And also, Corey Webster, a broken bone in his hand, but he was able to wrap it up and continue to play. And he said that he's going to suit up and play against the Eagles next week.
But you assume they're going to manage him in practice throughout the week. That's going to be a guy that's probably going to be limited. It's going to be something that they'll have to closely monitor, but it's a positive that he was able to immediately get back on the field. And real quickly, getting back to the David Wilson topic, we have a tweet related to Wilson here at GiantRB27 saying, David Wilson needs to pay his dues, earn the carries, can't just give them to BC. He is a first rounder. And you know that, I think Giants fans are mixed for the most part. Some see it. We want to see him immediately get on the field, make a difference because of the high selection, and others understand that that's the name of the NFL. You've got to prove yourself in practice. You got to prove yourself in the system. And then when your number is called, take advantage of those opportunities.
201-939-4513. Lance, let's head back out to our callers. We're going to the West Coast. Wow, it's early. Cali, California. Sean, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
How's it going?
What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yep, we're here.
How's it going?
What you got? Good.
I was calling to congratulate Ramsey Barden, Andre Brown, and Martellus Bennett. They're a good game, good time to step it up, especially for Andre Brown and Ramsey Barden. Martellus Bennett's been doing good. He's been having touchdowns since the Cowboys game, so it's good to see him getting grabs, helping Eli out down the field with a bigger man to throw it to, and even on third downs. Andre Brown stepped up big time for Ahmad Bradshaw, and I feel like they threw him in just because Wilson had carrying problems. I heard last night during the game they said, talking about Dave Wilson, I think the running back coach or the offensive coach was saying ball protection is job protection, so that's probably why he didn't get the any touches really that game yesterday. And Ramsey Barden stepped up big time. It was great seeing him get those catches. I think almost every catch he had was more than 10 yards. It was great seeing him step up. Hopefully it carries on to our next games and throughout the rest of the season.
And appreciate the phone call, Sean, and you hit it right on the nose. Each and every one of Barden's catches wasn't just 3 or 4 yards off a slant. I mean, it was a first down after a first down, and it started right off the top. He had an 8-yard catch for a first down off the second play from the line of scrimmage. And then each and every drive, if you look, in which they scored on their first four possessions, it was a big-time Barden grab. He had a 21-yard grab on another first down on their second drive. And then later on in the game, he hauled in a 14-yarder. He was the guy that kept those chains moving and enabled Eli Manning to get in a comfort zone.
Do you think a lot of it had – and let me just say this. I thought it was interesting. A few of the phone calls that we did get in the postgame show was, hey, do you think Victor Cruz is upset? Ramsey Barden is stealing his thunder? No. This is a team sport. It's all about winning. The fact that they walked away, they're 2-1 now, and 2-1 against a very difficult schedule this season in the NFL. No. Victor Cruz is not jealous. He's not angry. He's not upset. It was Barden's night. And everybody's excited and happy for him. But how much do you think, because, I mean, Lance, he was wide open. I mean, like, wide open.
Well,
like,
that's in part,
like,
of course.
Like an entire continent open for Eli to get the ball to him. And it was unbelievable. Do you think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Victor Cruz was somewhat of a decoy? Like, you know, the safeties did shadow Victor Cruz.
Yeah, the Panthers' game plan was we're going to deny Victor Cruz from getting the big plays, and you saw that because they were very aggressive with him at the line of scrimmage. If you're Carolina, you don't want to see him grab an 80 to 90-yard bomb and go into the end zone, so they took away the deep ball. As a result, Ramsey Barden had more opportunities down the field, and that's what you need to do on an NFL roster. If other guys are tangled up and getting a lot of attention, you didn't have Akeem Nicks to lean on, Barden Bennett made plays. That's why the Giants' offense flourished. When the team struggles, it's mainly because Cruz is doubled, Nicks is doubled, and nobody else is stepping up, or they have drop passes. And I think that was what was great to see out of this Giants' offense yesterday. They were decimated by injuries at nearly every position other than quarterback, and every position answered the call. You can't ask for a better performance.
201-939-4513. We go to Irvington. Jay wants to talk about the game last night. Jay, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I just want to say I didn't hear anybody talk about Pat Flaherty. I think he's like the best offensive line coach in the league. The way he does offensive linemen playing every position is just tremendous. And big game Barden, man. It's too much. I've been waiting for him to do this for so long, and for him to come out there and play the way he played was just great. It'll be nice that Coughlin, if Coughlin has confidence in him, to have him out there with Hot Nicks on one end and put Cruz in that slot, then it'd be impossible to double anybody, I think. And our secondary, when Roll went down, I thought he was hurt, but when Stevie Johnson and Will Hill came in, they played pretty good out there. I love the way Stevie was reading the quarterback, man. Like, you don't see that too much from our safeties. And it was just an overall great game, man, for our team.
And thanks for the phone call. Stevie Brown, you're right. I mean, he came right off the bench. Chantrell Roll gets hurt, and two possessions in, automatically gets an interception, which helps seal that win. And that's another example of a guy who doesn't get a lot of playing time but puts the work in during the week, knows the system. The Giants have confidence in him, and when his number was called, he came up with a big play. And the Giants' defense overall really made it very difficult on Cam Newton. I mean, the fact that he only ran for 6 yards, and even when he tried to get out of the pocket and throw, they picked him off 3 times. Michael Boley, another one who we haven't talked about, came up big too. The linebacker core, they knew they had to lean on those guys, and they certainly delivered.
Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, just some notes from last night's game. I typically, before I host the post-game show, I just make, what I do, Lance, is I make a pros and cons, like I make a list, pros and cons in regards to the game and what the Giants were able to do or not do. And I had very little cons last night. Everything was pro. Giants starting fast. You know, that was something that they wanted to try to accomplish, is get on the board quickly. Really haven't seen the Giants do that in quite a while. Even last year, that was an issue for them. So to come out in their very first drive and score a touchdown was tremendous. Martellus Bennett, my goodness, three games, you know, three touchdowns already, a touchdown every game. I think it's the first time that a Giants player has done that, scored three touchdowns in the first three games. So credit Martellus Bennett. Also, Michael Boley, three games, three interceptions for Michael Boley. So I think that goes on both sides of the coin. Andre Brown had to step up, obviously a huge night. Offensive line, we've been talking about that. Keep in mind, Carolina did not blitz much. Pretty interesting. They did not blitz. Ramsey's Barden, we talked about. Giants defensive line, their front four really containing Cam Newton. His numbers were absolutely horrible, and one of my fantasy football teams is feeling the results of that this morning. You got to credit Kevin Gilbride. I loved his play calling, his mixture of pass and run, and the way that he kind of orchestrated that game last night. Brilliant, considering what he was working with, not having his top guys on the field. Jerron Hosley, we talked about him, walking away with an interception. And last but not least, crediting head coach Tom Coughlin for really getting these guys ready. Tom Coughlin outcoached Ron Rivera from head to toe. The Giants were absolutely T's crossed, I's dotted, ready for that Carolina Panthers game on a short work week where it was evident that Carolina was not. So I'd give the game ball myself. I'd give the game ball to Tom Coughlin, because this Thursday night game thing, This throws a monkey wrench into a lot of people's programs. And keep in mind, Lance, the Ravens and the Patriots, that's a Sunday night game. The Ravens play on the following Thursday. So you want to talk about, from bad to worse. Yeah. That's going to be tough. I mean, it's.
But everybody has to go through it because of the way the schedule plays out. So it's not necessarily a disadvantage. For the most part, everybody's really spreading the
wealth. All 32 teams are playing on that Thursday night?
The majority of them are. I think everybody, yeah, I believe they are. That's how they balance out the schedule.
Wow.
So it's this even playing field. It's the same thing with the replacement officials. Everybody's got to deal with them. One team doesn't have an advantage over the other. No, but I mean, that you have to look at it from that perspective. That's the cards that everybody was dealt. They expanded this Thursday night schedule. So everyone's going to get the experience of it.
It's tough. And I feel for the Ravens. I mean, for them to have to go from a Sunday night game, let alone, boo.
But this is the reason why you study your opponents in the offseason who you're not familiar with. I think that was what this game reflected on. The Giants put the time in to look at the Panthers, an opponent that had success against the Giants in seasons prior. They don't know the personnel as well as they know the Redskins and the Cowboys and the Eagles. And they had a little glimpse of what to expect. And you're right, Tom Coughlin had these guys mentally prepared. That's the key here. An exhausting game they came off of on Sunday, where they had to put that entire comeback together in the fourth quarter, where they scored 25 points, to all of a sudden then rest the guys, manage the injuries, get on a plane. Carolina didn't have to go through any of that. That says a lot about how strong, from a mental perspective, this team performed. And the other thing I want to throw out with regard to the positives out of last night, the running game specifically, two opportunities for the Giants to run it in from 1 yard out. Short yardage situations have plagued this team in the first two games, even dating back to last season. And how about them finally having the opportunity to execute and punch it in from 1 yard out? That was a huge plus for the Giants.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ed in Maryland. Ed, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning. Great win. It's nice to see the Giants finally get a blowout win like the Tampa should do. You know, I've been calling about this before. You know, we finally went down the field on the first drive and got a score. Everything was pretty much perfect last night. The only problem I would say was that we had to go for five field goals. And, you know, I wish we could get at least, three of those into touchdowns. Big game from Ramsey Barden. I was really hoping for him to get his first TD. But maybe he might get that next week. And now I'm kind of curious, what are we going to do in the backfield? Bradshaw is the starter, but the way Andre Brown's playing, he looks like he should be the starter for like the rest of the season. What do you guys think about that?
I can understand there's a strong case to be made, and Ed, appreciate the phone call, to all of a sudden throw Andre Brown in the mix. But given the financial ties to Ahmad Bradshaw and the fact that the Giants do not have a track record of benching a guy even though he gets hurt, So Ahmad Bradshaw, when he's ready to carry the load again, he will be the starter. Andre Brown, if anything, proved he deserves a bigger role. So, for example, coming into the season, if their game plan was a 70-30 split, there's a hypothetical here, maybe now the gap is closed to 60-40. I don't know if it's gotten to 50-50 yet, but you could certainly make a case that Andre Brown is going to get a handful of carries moving forward. Because remember, Andre Brown proved he is effective with one or two carries, but for the most part, you only see the true potential of a running back if you give him 10 or 11 carries.
Okay, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here, okay? You're talking about judging Andre Brown moving forward, sharing carries with Ahmad Bradshaw, putting him on the same playing level in talent as Ahmad Bradshaw on a very small sample size against a Panthers defense that is not good against the run. Ahmad Bradshaw, Dallas Cowboys, Tampa Bay Bucks, defense is a lot better and much better against the run. Okay? So, I mean, look what the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Tampa Bay Bucks held the Carolina Panthers to 10 total rushing yards in week one. 10 total rushing yards. That's ridiculous. So, you know, to sit here and say, well, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw, he's you know, Andre Brown, after last night's performance, deserves yada, yada, yada. Whoa, 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 whoa. Could Andre Brown do that against the Dallas Cowboys week one, coming here to MetLife Stadium, all pumped up, all crumped, ready to take it, give it to the Giants like they did? Or the Bucks, whose defense is not big but fast, really fast? I mean, this is the worst defense the Giants have faced all season long. Eli Manning had all the time in the world. Tight ends were able to go out, and even Bear Pasco got a target. Unfortunately, he dropped it, but he got a target. So even Bear Pasco was able to go out and try to catch a pass. So keep that in mind. You have to look at the opponent. And I'm not taking anything away from Andre Brown. Very excited for him. Very excited for his success. But I need a larger sample size in regard to what he to see if he could continue to do what he did last night against other teams. You can't just immediately make that opinion and throw that out there without seeing, can he do this against a better defense?
But what you also need in this league is you need two different style running backs, and I think Andre Brown brings that to the table in terms of him being a more patient guy in the backfield, running in the inside where a Bradshaw can give you more of an outside presence. He can create. He's got that dancing ability, that speed. Most teams in this league have at least two running backs, and the two running backs are not identical in terms of their style. You usually have your big bruiser, and then you have the guy who has more versatility, can contribute in the passing game and run off the edge. And that, I think, will help balance things out for the Giants if they can utilize Andre Brown and Ahmad Bradshaw. But you're right. This Carolina Panthers defense let the Saints run wild on them. The Giants picked up where the Saints left off. But the positive is Brown did run effectively in the second half against what on paper appeared to be a stingy Tampa Bay defense, carried that now to Carolina, so there is at least some consistency. But you're right, he still needs to prove that when his number is called, and even if his carries are cut in half, can he still put up 5 to 6 yards per carry? That remains to be seen.
Let's go to Lynn in Columbia, Maryland, a regular on the show. Lynn, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, good morning. I just want to say the sun is shining brightly on Giants fans in Maryland this morning. It's a great day to be a Giants fan. Listen, it would have been hard to predict that 29-point win, but I don't understand the surprise on the part of a lot of people that the Giants won that game last night. Listen, there just aren't a whole lot of teams in the NFL, and we don't need all fingers on a single hand to count the teams that can match up with us. This is just good personnel. That's about as healthy, I hope I'm wrong on this one, that's about as healthy as the defense is going to get. I mean, we had all our guys last night. Didn't surprise me in the least. And, you know, somebody you haven't talked about all day, Eli sets one foot on the field. We got a great shot at winning a football game. I mean, this guy is just, you know, for a fan of a team, you know, I don't want to say it's a once in a lifetime, but it doesn't happen very often as you get a quarterback like this. I mean, he just makes all the difference in the world. So I'm not surprised that, you know, in the least, you know, that we won. Again, 29 points. Who can predict that? But, you know, when the defense is healthy, and Eli on the field, there just aren't a whole lot of teams that can match up with us. And, again, it's a great day to be a Giants fan. And I just think we're gonna, you know, we're gonna roll on. We're gonna win a lot of games. We're gonna win a lot of games. We're gonna go deep into the playoffs. And I got my fingers crossed. You know, two in a row. Okay, guys.
Before I let you go, actually, I was assuming you're gonna pat yourself on the back, considering you predicted right on the nose that the Panthers were gonna run for 60 yards last night. And right,
hey,
I mean, we're talking exactly.
Thanks for remembering. But listen, I just felt so strongly. I looked at the guys on the, you know, who were hurt, and I thought to myself, geez, you can't get any healthier than this. We know they're good players. You know, we got some depth all over the field. I mean, it just stood to reason they weren't going to be able to do much on the ground last night. And, well, thanks for remembering that. I do appreciate it. But I hope I don't have them too highly overrated. But, I mean, this is our time. I mean, it's our time. This is it. You know, I don't know where we're going to be 10 years from now. But you know, right now, I don't see many teams that can match up. And listen, Anita, you be careful on Sunday night in that stadium. I hope you're going to be wearing some Ravens gear.
I mean, Lynn, I spent 4 years down there.
I know you did. I know you did. You were good. I miss you. You were good.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah. Thank you. And I thank you. Appreciate it. And I haven't been back since, but really excited for this game. I mean, out of all the games looking ahead to week three, this is the one game that I'm probably most looking forward to watching on Sunday. And fortunate enough, I was invited to go, and I got tickets, so I'm going to be there. So.
Well, New England's looking to bounce back from a rough performance against the Cardinals, mm-hmm. And the Ravens also trying to work out a heartbreaking loss against the Eagles. Yeah.
This is a revenge. I mean, that missed field goal. I mean, you know, to me, the Ravens should have gone to the Super Bowl. They were the better team. Unfortunately, they missed the field goal and didn't go. But and the Ravens always get up to play Tom Brady. It's always a rough outing for him, but it's always a good game. And I'm excited to see Joe Flacco. I think he's having a good season so far, and I'm excited for the game. I think it's going to be a good one.
He had a great opening performance against the Bengals, and I know that Cincy defense has a lot to improve on, but you got to play who's on your schedule, and Flacco, I think, has taken the next step in his development, and this is going to be another opportunity in a primetime situation for him to make another statement. But getting back to some of the comments that Len had mentioned regarding the Giants, is he putting them too high on the pedestal? And that remains to be seen. You know, it is only three games. There have been some mixed results. You know, they did lose to the Cowboys, and it's hard to take away from a team's performance after just one game because you're still trying to make sense of your opponents for the most part. And this Carolina team, I thought, did not perform to the level that they expected. Defensively, they're not nearly as strong as some of the other teams the Giants are going to see moving forward. But then again, you got to play who's on your schedule. You got to take advantage of that. So you have to tip your cap and give credit to the Giants for executing a game plan and clicking on all angles and all cylinders. What stands out to me about this Giants team through three games in comparison to what they did last season, this team won the Super Bowl and had no semblance of a running game, which was amazing in its own. Now, if you have a running game and you can utilize that and showcase that for the course of the season, how dangerous does that make this Giants offense, regardless of the opponent that they're going up? Because now the opposition needs to prepare to contain the running game and Eli Manning's arm. That wasn't something that was in play last season. So that is a big step in the right direction for the Giants. My question, though, is can they show consistency from game to game in that?
201-939-4513 with you for the next 10 to 15 minutes. Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, Big Blue Kickoff Live. We go to D.C. A lot of Maryland love we're feeling this morning. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Marty, by way of East Orange, so I'm down here in D.C. It was a great win last night. I had a couple of points I wanted to say. As far as Andre Brown, I've been wanting this guy to go. I think he should have been playing last year in front of D.J. Ware. But next week, the next game is that Philly game. And to match up against that Philly defense, it'll be a coming-out party again. I think he'll do real well, and that'll be that bellwether, whether he can run against good defenses or not. Philly will be a big predictor in that. And also, also I got to give a shout out to my man Corey Webster, who really held Steve Smith down. That call and that little tiff they had, I think, really set the defense off. Steve Smith is one of the most physical receivers in the NFL. He is a true monster. But Corey Webster definitely held him in check. Those two passes he caught, that was garbage time passes. So just really appreciate the win, guys.
And appreciate the phone call. And I like the point that he brought up regarding the Philly defense, that that's going to be a good indicator, another test for the Giants defense and offense, I should say. But this is a positive to take away from the Panthers game last night. The Giants went up against a mobile quarterback. So now they got a taste of that. And who are they seeing in a week? Another mobile quarterback in Michael Vick. So the way the linebackers performed in containing Cam Newton, that's an area you want to now take with you to Philadelphia. I thought Michael Boley, Chase Blackburn, the list goes on and on. Keith Rivers aggravated the hamstring injury. Hopefully he'll have a week to get back to full force. When they have all those guys that they can rotate in and out, you have solid coverage from left to right, and you're going to need that. And Jaquan Williams, another guy that I forgot to mention, who also once again chipped in on special teams. Paysinger, another one, which we didn't necessarily touch on. They got two big turnovers on special teams, which helped field position. But getting back to the linebacker core, I thought they did a really nice job in providing that second layer of defense, containing the run, containing Cam Newton, not letting him get comfortable outside of the pocket. They're going to need to duplicate that against Michael Vick and LeSean McCoy.
But what do the Eagles do now? Now they've seen the scheme that Perryfield used last night.
Well, it's a game of adjustments,
right.
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. Frank in New Jersey wants to talk about David Wilson. Frank, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Anita. Lance, how you guys doing?
Doing well. What you got?
I have to agree with Anita. I was expecting Wilson to be put in at the end there to get some reps, but I don't know why it was put in. I got two questions. One was this unwritten rule about, you know, if you get hurt, your sub comes in, he does great. Why doesn't he keep the job? I mean, I like the way Brown runs. It's like north and south and runs hard. Bradshaw, you know, side to side. I lost my faith in it in a little bit. And the second question is Bennett. I don't know if you guys saw it, but from when I was watching on TV there, after that one play when Eli threw over his head, he stopped his route, and they went back to the sideline. Eli trying to talk to him, and Bennett's like walking away from him. I mean, I don't know. His body language to me on the screen, it's like, he's nonchalant. What do you think about that?
Well, Bennett has a unique personality, I'll give you that. That was no secret when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, he and Eli are still trying to build some chemistry. I actually did not notice that exchange on the sideline. I did notice that there was a case you could make that he did stop short on his route. I also thought the pass was a bit high, so even if he continued his route, I'm not so sure if Bennett would have been in prime position to make the catch. I don't know if this is a troubling aspect to be overly concerned about, because at the end of the day, Bennett has shown that he can regroup quickly, and that's a positive trait to take away from a tight end. He's had drops in the past games, he's come back, and he's caught big touchdown passes. So the fact that mentally he's strong enough to put away some of those issues and then regroup and bounce back, that's at least something that you can carry moving forward. I don't know if it's a big concern in terms of the communication issues.
No, Martellus Bennett and Eli Manning have a very good relationship. And tongue-in-cheek, kind of the media's joked around how much Martellus Bennett texts Eli Manning when they're away from the facility. I'm sure it was just a matter of frustration, but their relationship is spot on. It is good. I think Eli was a little frustrated that he thought he was going to continue and run behind the defender. He did not. He slowed down his route. So, but you're right. Nothing really, I think nothing to really be too concerned with. Let's go to Big Ed calling in. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello, hello, hello.
Big Ed.
What's up, Big John? And welcome, 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 Miss Anita Marks. This is the first time we've really had this conversation. I just want to say thank you for being the beauty queen of Giants.com and doing a great job of bringing all the right coverage to us. Appreciate you so much.
Well, that's very sweet, but Lance is in with me today, not John.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, Big Lance?
What's up, man?
Yeah,
how's everything?
Right. This is Big Lance. That's my boy, too. Yeah. Him and John almost sound like twins.
not a problem. Not a problem. What you got for us, Ed?
Ramses Barton. Wow. finally, him and Andre Brown, that is such the NFL story of the year. These two are the key components that's going to get us back to the Super Bowl. And I said it. Yes, go back to the Super Bowl. I don't see nobody stopping us. The only way we'll stop winning games is we stop ourselves. If we get key people hurt, if everybody just stay apart, we should win everything all the way out. As long as we win these next five games and really just set the tone for the end of the season, I think we should be just fine. But Ramsey Barton's my boy. He came out and did his thing, finally got a shot. I'm so happy.
All right, Ed, appreciate the phone call. And I think, like Ed, many Giants fans have been waiting for Ramsey Barton to put together a performance like this.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think Ramsey Barton has so many fans that are, you know, excited, wanting to see him play, get on the field, get his opportunity? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's a running joke here on our morning show with John and I because of his 6'6 size. That's why a lot of people, I think, are excited about a guy like Ramsey Barton. You put him in the red zone, he's bigger than most corners. You throw it over the top, and he should haul it in, and it should be an easy touchdown. Whenever you have that type of height, that's a scary presence to throw out on the field for the opposition. The fact that he just hasn't been healthy enough to be on the field enough and gain chemistry with Eli Manning, that's what's held him back. Now he's healthy, put together a good preseason. Perhaps this could be the opportunity in which he finally turns the corner and is able to contribute. But at the end of the day, remember, he got this opportunity today because Akiem Nicks got hurt. Akiem Nicks is not going to be benched moving forward. When he's healthy, they're going to line him up, they're going to line Cruz up, and they're certainly going to bring Hickson back into the mix. But if Barton can continue to put this type of performance together, he's another guy like Andre Brown. You got to work him in at times. You have to create some packages to utilize him. It's a waste to have this guy work hard in practice every week and not at least give him a glimpse on the field. So, once again, another guy taking advantage of his opportunities. That was the big theme last night. It was all about your numbers called, what are you going to do with it? Eli Manning throws you a pass, what are you going to do with it? I think for the most part, everybody passed that test.
201-939-4513. We've got about 5 minutes left on the show. Let's try to get everybody in as we can. John in Fort Lauderdale wants to talk about the O-line. John, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'd like to talk about the D-line, actually. You know, I heard the last guy say we might, you know, go to the Super Bowl, and I believe him. You know, why can't we make a run? You know, everybody said we had the hardest schedule in the league, and now it's time to go out there and prove it. You look at the NFC right now, the Saints are broken, the Falcons aren't anything, and the Eagles are a bunch of showboaters. And we're here, you know, on crutches, beating everybody's ass, and, you know, it's time to go. Number two, we're going to get it.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, the San Francisco 49ers is a team that you didn't throw out on that list, and that, to me, is one of the strongest teams in the NFC, at least early on in the season, given their balance on defense and offense, and the Giants know them well, as they had a very tough NFC championship game. But you're right, there is reason to be excited for the Giants, and there's no reason to think that they can't make another good run, given some of the strides they've put together over the last couple of games. But at the end of the day, it's all about consistency. Can they take care of business against their division rivals? The Eagles have improved. The Cowboys have improved. The Redskins have improved. That's going to be an important test. And the schedule is tough. The schedule was hard last season. And they wound up winning games that nobody thought they were going to win. They beat the Patriots. Nobody thought they were going to win that game in New England. So, to me, don't put much stock in the schedule. And who's to say that another team that is awaiting the Giants in week 14 or 15 doesn't suffer a huge injury and all of a sudden that schedule is not looking as difficult as it is. And here's another thing to even throw out regarding the schedule. The Redskins last season were not a strong team, considered by many last year, and they swept the Giants. So just because you think the schedule's tough, the teams that you overlook or you don't think are going to be such a challenge turn out to be your toughest challenge. And that's what you need to keep in mind when you look at the schedule. It's way too early to start drawing comparisons. The NFC has opened a little bit because some of the powerhouses have struggled. The Lions, the Packers, the Saints. It's a marathon. I know it's the old cliche to throw out. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. The Giants showed that last season. Take these performances for what it's worth. Be patient. Let's see what the Giants could do moving forward.
Really quick before we do end the show, it is Friday. Let's kind of look around the NFL and some of the matchups. Since the Giants did play on Thursday night, a lot of Giants fans are going to have the opportunity to take it all in. And specifically, let's really look at the NFC East. The Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Bucs, taking on the Cowboys, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Cowboys at home. Thoughts on this game?
Tampa Bay's defense certainly struggled against the Giants. I think that goes without saying. And Dallas is looking to regroup after a tough game in Seattle. I think that the Cowboys' offense is going to be just as challenging for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to contain. Dallas's defense, I thought, took a step back against the Seahawks. Seattle was able to really run the ball effectively with Marshawn Lynch. And if you're Tampa Bay, you're looking to at least set the tone with Doug Martin. At the end of the day, if the Cowboys get back to full health, I know Jay Ratliff is still a question mark. Sean Lee took a really hard blow to the head from Golden Tate. You have to like Dallas just purely on paper with how their offense has performed for the most part. And Tampa Bay has a lot to prove. I mean, that defense needs to work out some issues after you give up 500 yards through the air.
The Jets heading to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Interesting that Tim Tebow watched to see what happens there. I do believe we'll see a more heavy dose of Tim Tebow in that game. It is Miami. It is Florida. Folks love him down there. Half the stadium probably will be chanting his name, even though he's a visitor. So that's going to be an interesting game. The Bengals at the Redskins. RG3 at home against the Bengals. He's had two phenomenal weeks. What are you expecting from this game, Lance?
Now, Cincinnati's defense has struggled in terms of containing the pass specifically. Cleveland was able to get its offense back on track. Trent Richardson also had a good game on the ground. So I would assume that the Redskins are going to have success moving the football. At the end of the day, the big question mark regarding Washington is how will their defense perform? Brian Arakpo is lost for the season. He is their top pass rusher. They also lost Adam Carricker, and their secondary has had mixed results through the first two games. They let St. Louis get back into the thick of things. And New Orleans, yes, had a rough game, but Drew Brees still threw for over 300 yards. So if Washington's going to take the next step and contend to this division, their defense needs to make a statement. I don't know if necessarily Cincinnati is going to be the turning point game, but moving forward, that's the thing to watch.
We talked about the Patriots and the Ravens. The Eagles at the Cardinals. Keep in mind, the Cardinals, a much better defense than what people think. They did beat the Patriots last week. They are at home now facing the Eagles and a Michael Vick team. 9 turnovers on the season so far. 6 interceptions by Michael Vick. 3 fumbles by LeSean McCoy. 9 turnovers total for that team, and they're still 2-0 going up against possibly one of the most difficult defenses they faced all season. They cannot turn the ball over against the Cardinals or they'll lose.
Now, part of the reason why they're 2-0 and they've been able to overcome the injuries, Philly's defense has improved. Like the Cowboys,
absolutely.
Philly made it an offseason priority to amp up on defense. And the big guy at the center of that is D'Amico Ryans, who they brought over from the Texans. He's that middle linebacker. Remember, Philadelphia could not stop the running game if its life depended on it last season. Everyone ran on the Eagles. This season, not so much the case. If they can continue to contain the run, and that secondary has also improved. Namdi's healthy. Rogers Cromartie's playing at the top of his game. They got rid of Samuel. Remember, they traded him to the Falcons. But those two, as long as they stay healthy, it's going to be a tough defense to have to contend with. So if Philly's defense can continue to play at this level, they can afford to maybe turn the ball over once or twice as long as they could do some damage control.
You've got the Bills at the Browns. Who knows if C.J. Spiller's reign continues. What a season he's having so far. The Rams at the Bears. Okay, none of these games really tickle my fancy. Jaguars at the Colts. 49ers at the Vikings. 49ers just look great. The Chiefs at the Saints. Let's talk about this game for a second. Kansas City, some issues and health issues on defense. But the Saints, starting the season 0-2, Lance. 0-2. Now they're home, going up against a team that Drew Brees can really put up some big points against in their secondary.
Everybody says Sean Payton not being on the sidelines is killing the Saints, and I'm not overlooking that fact, but Drew Brees was really running that offense even when Payton was calling the show on the sidelines. So I don't know if it's necessarily because Payton's not in the mix anymore. It's not as if the Saints forgot to play football. To me, what the biggest issue with the Saints is pass protection. They lost Carl Nix, their top guard, Pro Bowl offensive lineman. He's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Drew Brees has seen a lot more pressure than he's seen in seasons prior. Perhaps they're going to have to make some tweaks, get the running backs involved, similar to the Giants' game plan, give Drew Brees more of an opportunity to throw down the field. They have enough weapons. At the end of the day, don't write off the Saints. They will regroup, and I have a feeling they are going to be in that postseason conversation. They are too talented. Their defense scares me, though. I'm not going to lie about that. This is going to be a defense, even with Spags now running the show, that's going to continue to give up 25 to 30 points a game. The difference is, compared to other teams, Drew Brees can put up 35 to 40 a game.
One other game I wanted to talk about before we do sign off, and that is Peyton Manning in Denver going up against the Atlanta Falcons. Your thoughts on that game? I mean, you know, Peyton, big concern going to Denver and his velocity, his arm, because of his neck and tricep problems that he was facing, just did not look like he had the velocity. So I think all eyes on Peyton Manning to see, you know, was it that the defense that he was going up against kind of, well, it's not Atlanta. I'm sorry. They played Atlanta last week. It's who's Denver playing this week?
Let's see here. Bring up the
Houston.
Schedule.
I'm sorry.
The Texans,
they're playing
right.
The Texans. So, which is a much better, has a much, probably one of the best secondaries in the NFL.
And
so,
a good front seven.
So, you know, this is going to be interesting to see. You know, are we going to see a repeat performance from Peyton Manning and that loss of velocity? Or
I think, you know, the bottom line is how well he can manage that neck injury throughout the course of the season. He'll be the first one to admit he's not 100%. If they can continue to lean on the running game, though, they're not going to ask Manning to do much. Willis McGahee looked pretty good against that Falcons defense. He got out over 100 yards and also got into the end zone. So if they can get consistency out of the backfield, all of a sudden Peyton Manning doesn't need to throw for 300 yards. That's going to really indicate whether or not the Broncos can ride out this season. At the end of the day, though, if you're Denver, you got to feel a lot better having Peyton Manning under center than Tim Tebow.
Have you completed your fantasy football roster for
Yes, I have submitted it to Melroy.
You have? Do you want to share your I have not submitted
Well, if I remember the team I actually selected.
I have not submitted my team yet. I will, as soon as the show's over, I will submit a team. But would you like to share your team with us?
Melroy conveniently pulled it up. And by the way, in this league, we are not allowed to pick the Giants or their opponents. So
right.
We only
of that. Which actually is a good thing for me because I actually was pretty high on Brandon LaFell last night. And he did absolutely nothing. So I probably would have selected Brandon LaFell as my dollar wide receiver and came up way short. So actually, it's a good thing for me that we didn't pick Giants or Carolina players.
And another story quickly connected to the fantasy angle. In another league I'm in, I picked up Martellus Bennett, and I had Antonio Gates as my starter. Now, he cost me last week because he was a surprise inactive. Now, this week I had the dilemma. Gates practice, still a question mark, or do I ride the table with Bennett,
who
had a good matchup?
Hopefully you went with Bennett.
And I did go with Bennett to protect myself, and he certainly answered the call.
Good for you.
Now, this league, I took Tony Romo against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for $15. I'm going based on what Eli Manning did. You figure Dallas is going to throw the ball. Then I went with Alfred Morris of the Redskins. I like his matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. Trent Richardson had over 100 total yards for the Browns last week. Looked really good. Kevin Smith of the Lions. I know Mikel LeShore is coming back, but Tennessee has struggled defensively. And remember, these were bargains. They were a buck apiece. We only have $40 to play with in
right.
this situation.
Right.
Tony Romo was $15. I went with Brandon Marshall at $14. I'm very high on Marshall. I know last week was not too good and didn't back me up, but you figure the Bears are going to have a huge bounce back game. They've had over a week to now prepare for the Rams.
Is this PPR? Are we getting points per reception? We're not. Okay.
But he does get the chunk of yardage, and he's a favorite target of Jay Cutler. Sticking with the Cowboy theme, went with Dez Bryant for $1, assuming, again, they're going to open things up in the passing game. And also for $1, Owen Daniels of the Texans. Denver gave up a big game to Tony Gonzalez. They have really allowed tight ends to flourish, so I'm going based on the trend angle.
So you spent your money on Tony Romo and
Brandon Marshall.
And Brandon Marshall.
$29 between the two.
Okay. Okay. All right, I will be submitting my roster in about 10 minutes after we finish the show. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, Giants players will make their way here to the facility around 3 o'clock this afternoon. They'll be made available to the media, so we'll have player reaction on Giants.com, so make sure you tune in to that. I believe we'll have an end-of-the-day report as well. And then Giants back in action on Tuesday. Oh, actually, they have Tuesday off. Back in action Wednesday at practice, getting ready for that Sunday night game at Philadelphia against the Philadelphia Eagles. Lance, anything else going on this weekend?
No, I'm actually looking forward to enjoying football for once. Right. I know all of us here who are associated with the Giants are usually working pretty
and
hard
Sundays.
On a Sunday. So it is a nice change of pace. And even Eli Manning commented on that yesterday in the postgame show when Bob Papa was talking with him. He's going to be able to enjoy DirecTV for now the second time in the first 3 weeks because the Cowboys and Giants opened up on a Wednesday. It's a very unique situation for the Giants. The positive, though, moving forward, things are going to return to normal regarding the schedule because they pretty much play on a Sunday or a Monday from here on out.
Right. So, Lance, thank you so much. Great day, everybody. You got to feel good if you're a Giants fan sitting 2-1 in the NFC East and having a nice weekend off, getting ready to enjoy some football games as the Giants prepare for week 4 and the Philadelphia Eagles. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a good one.